You know, we've been on a journey the last several weeks walking through what we've called the early years. We're looking at the first several years of this man named Jesus and his life here on earth. And we started this out by looking at verse 3 and 4. And I'm going to read those today just for review. They're not going to be on the screen behind me, but just for review. This guy named Luke did a study. He read everything that had been written, and then he sat down with eyewitnesses to write this letter to a friend named Theophilus. And he did it for this reason, it tells us. It seems good to me, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Theophilus was some high-ranking Roman official. Why? That you may have certainty concerning the things that you've been taught. We've said that we all need certainty in life, and the thing that we need certainty about the most is spiritual truth, if there is any. And as I look around the room here today, I know that there are some here who have been walking with God for a long, long time, and you have a great degree of certainty about the things that you've been taught. There's no doubt in your mind who Jesus is and what he has done. And I'm grateful that you're here. There's some here that are newer believers that have certainty about the things you've been taught, but you want to be taught more. And so Luke's going to do a great job of walking you through and teaching you more about this, who Jesus is and what he's been accomplishing. And then there's some that I think are probably riding the fence. You're not quite on the same page yet, but you're awful close. You're awful interested. I think Luke will do a great job of saying, here's really what took place. And not only that, this isn't just a history lesson. For many of you, school is out now, right? Woohoo! All right. So this isn't a history lesson for history's sake. It's what does the significance of who Jesus really was make today? Why does it matter? I mean, is it just stale old story, or can it impact your life? That's an important question. And then some of you here today are pretty sure you don't buy this stuff. I mean, we might be nice folks here at Church on Mill, and I think we are, but in the end, was this guy, Jesus, the real deal? Did he really do what he claimed to do? Is he really who he said he is? Well, that's the central question in all of life. Because if Jesus is really who he said he is, then we must follow him. But if he's not, if he's just one in a long line, and there's been many, if he's just one in a long line of people that made spiritual claims, then he's just a lunatic. And there's no reason to follow him. So it's a vital, vital question. And if you're not so sure yet, or pretty sure you're not sure, I'm thrilled that you're here. It's one of my greatest joys that you're here. And so we're going to walk through this together, and maybe, hopefully, God will speak to all of us as we work through this together. So last week, you may remember that we talked through an interesting passage where Mary found out what was going to take place in her life. Thank you. You're blessed. Give her a hand. Ooh, it's a leaner. The Leaning Tower of Water. Okay, last week we talked about a Mary. And today we're going to continue on in that journey. And what we're going to find out is that Mary was told that she was going to carry the Son of God. She was going to carry Jesus. And she found out a relative of hers was also pregnant. Now, what was significant about that was that this lady was at the other end of the spectrum. Mary was, do you remember how old she was? 12, 13, 14. So, young gal. And then there's Elizabeth. Now, how old was she? Old. Actually, what did the husband say? She was advanced in years. Yes. He was a smart man. All right? So, Mary hears that Elizabeth's pregnant. So the first thing she does is she essentially drops everything she has and she runs to see Elizabeth. She wants to go rejoice with somebody else who's just experienced a miracle. Now, she had to travel somewhere around 100 miles. So she's hauling, going 100 miles to go see Elizabeth. Would have taken multiple days, obviously. And finally, she walks into her home, and several supernatural things take place. You've heard them read, and now I want to kind of walk through them with you. And that's really the way it is with Jesus. Supernatural events surround Jesus. And today I want to show you at least four of them, and we'll see what we can glean from them together. The first one is that you probably picked up on this, but Mary walks in and Elizabeth automatically knew what had happened with Mary. Elizabeth knew that Mary was pregnant with child, and that she knew Elizabeth and Mary both shouldn't have been. I mean, one was beyond childbearing age, the other had never been with a man. So this is a strange meeting, right? This is not your typical gathering of mothers-to-be. So imagine the meeting. They both would have embraced. I'd imagine they cried. They hugged. They were enthusiastic. So before Mary said a word, Elizabeth knew that Mary was pregnant. So there was no email. There was no text message. She didn't send her a tweet on the way. God must have told her. She must have found out that way. There is no other way. So supernaturally, we see Luke telling us that God revealed to Elizabeth what was going on. But even more amazing than that, we can go to a supernatural event too. Elizabeth wasn't the only one who knew. Did you pick up on who else knew? John. Now, this is where this gets kind of weird. All right? I'll be the first to admit this. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. So John is still inside of her, obviously. And the text told us that the baby did what? The baby leaped for joy. So apparently, what God said to Zechariah was true. God said that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from the beginning. So John, here inside of his mother, already has the Spirit present and active and at work in his life. And the Spirit can illuminate things well beyond what should be able to happen. So supernaturally, John knew, I'm in the presence of Jesus, because Mary was there. Now, I'm not saying that's normal, that happens often, but it happened now. And Luke is including that because it's showing us that supernatural events surround Jesus Christ. So God revealed to both Elizabeth and to John who was there, still in utero. I just think that's incredible. And did you notice what emotion John was said to have? Joy. He was said to have joy. Joy at the presence of Jesus. You know, any encounter with Jesus ought to ultimately lead to joy, right? I am sure that many of you, like me, have been in settings, in churches, and been around people who claim to have been with Jesus, and they are anything but joyful. Right? Something is horribly wrong with that picture. Any encounter with Jesus ought to lead to joy, because he is the ultimate source of joy. He is the one that gives us real life and meaning and fulfillment and taps us into the Father. And John, from the very beginning, is fulfilling his calling of announcing who Jesus is. And he does so with joy. And I hope that we would always be a people of joy. Now, another supernatural event. Look at verse 45 with me. So we're in Luke 1:45. This is one of the things Elizabeth says to Mary. She says, Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Now, remember what the angel told Mary. He said, you're 12, 13, 14. But yes, you're from this little tiny town. Yes, you're poor. But you're going to bring the Messiah into the universe. Mary says, how? I'm just engaged. I'm not married. This isn't going to work the natural way. And the Spirit's going to come upon you, and you'll be with child. So Mary believed something that seems absolutely absurd, right? And she runs to Elizabeth, and her older, wise relative says, blessed are you who believe. She encouraged her in her obedience and in her belief. Have you ever needed encouragement in your belief? Have you ever needed encouragement in your obedience? If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, you're just checking this out, we don't claim that following Jesus necessarily makes life more simple. Nor does it necessarily make it easier. That's not the point. The point is, who is ultimately in control, and will we follow him or not? Mary's life likely got much harder, but she was blessed. She had an incredible honor. And Elizabeth had the joy of encouraging her in that obedience. I hope that we as a church will be people that do that. That when we see each other doing difficult things, believing what God has said, that we'll surround each other and say, good job, way to go. God's at work. Keep it up. Because at times we'll be weak and we'll want to give up. And Mary needed that encouragement, and Elizabeth gave it to her. I find that supernatural, that Mary believed something like this could happen, and then God encouraged her in it. Now, I think what's most astonishing was not what Elizabeth said, though, to Mary. I think what's most astonishing is what she said about Jesus. Look at verse 43. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Okay, how old is Jesus at this point? At the most, a couple days, right? I mean, she has just conceived. And what does Elizabeth call Jesus? Lord. Now, what does Lord mean? Anybody like Lord of the Rings? I only saw one, and I fell asleep. Until this some little thing went, ah! And scared me half to death, and I never went back. That's honest truth. Okay? What does Lord mean? Master. What else? Okay, it's a sign of respect. Yes. Owner? Controller? Ruler? Do you think it's strange that Elizabeth says to a fetus, you are my Lord? Don't be hyper-spiritual. That seems weird, doesn't it? What is Luke telling us? What is he pointing to? He's saying, early in his letter, he's saying, Theophilus, look. Look, Elizabeth saw. She got it. Jesus came from heaven. And he is the ruler, the controller, the master of everything. He is my Lord. Isn't that beautiful? That's supernatural. Only God can reveal that. As odd as it seems. So, Elizabeth's son, John, would be the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. by far. He would announce, he would usher in the Messiah. But Mary's son would be the Messiah. He would be the Lord. Christianity hinges on Jesus Christ. It all comes down to Jesus Christ. Everything hinges there. If you're struggling with faith, ask God to reveal to you who Jesus is. Ask Him. Give Him time. I'm confident that He can answer that. We said at the start of this series, if Jesus is who He said He is, and if He did what He claimed to do, then we must follow Him. But if He's not, if what we read here is not true, if they're just fables or made up stories, then none of it matters. It all hinges on Jesus. So that's what that's what Elizabeth said to Mary. Now, let's look at what Mary said to Elizabeth. Okay, and I want to read through it again because it's so powerful. Would you come back up? You did so well, and honestly, I need a break. So, would you read 46 through 56? Yeah. Helps if I'm in the right book. I got flipped my page. Okay, 46. 56.
Correct. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. And He has shown strength with His arm, and He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, and in remembrance of His mercy, He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to His offspring forever."
Thank you. Give her a hand. All right, now stay here a second. Okay? Now, there's only one thing you didn't do right. Okay? I think that this is the first case of rap. All right? Now, here. Elizabeth shares all of this with Mary, and this is known as the Magnificat. And probably Mary just busted out in song. Okay? She probably just got after it and rapped it. All right? So, would you like to do that? I'm kidding. Good job. There is so much here in what she's saying that we could talk about it for hours. So I hope you brought a lunch and a blanket. All right? This young, illiterate girl from a small town knows her Bible. She knows who Jesus is. She understands. She says so much. I want to just point out a few things. The first half of her song talks about what God was doing for her. It's very personal and intimate. The second half moves sort of national and international, and it even includes us. It just explodes and expands. It's incredible. She started her song by saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord." To magnify something is to enlarge it. And it's to praise God for who He is. It's a song of praise. She's saying, "My soul magnifies God." Her song is consistent with the one she's praising. Her song is consistent with the one she's praising. When we gather to sing and to praise God, are our songs consistent with the one that we're praising? Do we magnify the Lord in the way Mary did? I hope so. If we have our hands in our pockets and we're looking at the floor, then no. But I hope we're engaged the way Mary was. She, as we've heard read, she magnified God for His power, for His holiness, for His mercy and kindness to people who did not deserve it, for humbling the proud and bringing up the humble, and for God keeping His promises. Now, I'd ask you, has any of that changed about God? No. Then why would we ever not worship Him like she did? We have the same opportunity. Her song reflects both this personal gratitude to God and this international that I want to get to in a second. Look at verse 49. She says, "He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name." She's saying the all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal, holy God has done great things for this poor little girl. That's the kind of God He is. I hope that you look at God that way. That this incredibly vast, massive God has done great things for little tiny you. Regardless of the questions, the struggles, the hurt, the pain, God has done great things for you. And then she moves into this more broad view of what God is doing. And she says that God has done, is doing, and will do great things. And you've got to catch this about what she sung. What Mary saw what Jesus was going to do in His life and in His death and in His resurrection as already accomplished. She, before it happened, sung as if it had already taken place. She had the faith to believe, because I have this baby, this is as good as done. Does that make sense? That what God said He's going to do, it's already like it's done. He'll deliver. He's good. He'll come through on His promises. And all of this has to do with God bringing His kingdom to earth. Jesus is just a fetus, but Mary knew that what God said He would do, He would do. And the same is true today. Now, we could talk about a lot more and go on and on, but I hope what you've caught here today is an old lady who experienced a miracle, a very young girl who experienced a miracle. They got together, they rejoiced, because supernatural events surround Jesus Christ. And they recognize that Jesus is Lord, that He's Master. And throughout Luke, we'll see why. So, if you don't believe this yet, don't take my word for it. If you don't believe, if you're not there yet, just wait. As we walk through Luke, you'll be confronted with evidence again and again and again for why we should see Jesus as Lord. Over and over and over, Luke will tell us. And I hope you've been stirred to worship like Mary did. Because the same God who was there is here, right? And He's still alive and He's still at work.